Hey everyone, welcome to Hashtag Dad Life, a part of the Beyond Real Estate podcast. And Nick, you brought on this wonderful man, so I'll let you introduce our special guest for this week.
And without further ado, I am going to quickly hand it off because I don't think it does any justice to our guest for me to try to talk on the behalf. So Tim, why don't you give our listeners and our watchers out there an introduction of who you are and what you do?
Okay. Well, thanks for having me on. And Tim Ryan from Pasadena area of California. And I'm a husband and a father of three. And I'm happy to say we are empty nesters now. So we could talk a little about that maybe, but a whole new life. And I'm a real estate investor and contractor developer.
Thank you for joining us. And yeah, Jay, why don't you introduce Hashtag Dad Life?
On this week's episode of Hashtag Dad Life, we are talking about no-no words, potty mouths, and just gutter filth. I don't know whatever you want to say, the words that you generally can't say near or around the average churchgoer, and how that relates to being a parent and navigating that as a parent as well. It's not every day that your toddler drops an F-bomb, but when they do, you realize that you messed up somewhere along the way. And so today we are going to talk about that. And we're going to be talking about the tone of voice that and how important that is. And then we're going to also dive in, and it's going to be interesting to hear Tim's perspective on this, being an empty nester, of when to let your kids start being a little bit more free in the word choice that they use. So if you have kids that are growing up and starting to say the words that you don't want them to say around civilized guests, this episode's for you.
Welcome to Beyond Real Estate with Jaylook, the podcast discussing parenting, real estate, and business. Every week we go in depth on how to become successful in business and life. Jaylen, take it away.
All right. So all the no-no words. Few probably come to mind. They're usually four-letter words, and the most prominent one is the F-bomb. We literally compare it to war, the F-bomb. Nick, I'm sure Diego has not been just chatting it up with you, let alone dropping F-bombs, but let's dive right into the very first subject of today's episode, and that's going to be bad language effects. So what are your thoughts when it comes to bad words? Good, bad, indifferent? Let the kids say it. We don't give up. Nick, please.
I don't understand the necessity for it. And so I definitely am not of the mindset to say it doesn't matter. In my opinion, I think it does matter more because for those, just in terms of creating habits, for those of us that want jobs, that want to be surrounding ourselves with like-minded individuals and ideally getting places in life, it's just not something that kids need in order to create more opportunities. I think the reality is it's probably going to create less of them. And that's going to be my brief synopsis there real quick, because I really want to hear Tim's take, again, being an empty nester now, of how you've chosen to navigate that and what your thoughts are within that space.
I would say right off the bat, I think saying bad words by children is a bad thing. They shouldn't do it. And even if a parent is okay with it, and so a kid says it around them and people say, hey, don't tell me how to parent. They go to school, they say the word, they get in trouble. That kid goes home, says it there. I'm thinking about how it's infectious to say bad words, very infectious. I found something recently, I was thinking about that. It also can be infectious if you don't. And what I thought was interesting is, so I don't say bad words, and it's just been my personality. I really don't. Like, my bad words are damn and shit.
Whoa.
Even that, I wanted to whisper it. Yeah. And so I was thinking the best thing for kids, number one, they don't say it. Number two, that their parents don't say it. That's maybe a big undertaking, right? So yeah, if you just don't say it around them, then it doesn't become a thing. Of course, they're going to hear it and they're going to bring it home too, and these kind of things. But I feel like we all want to get on the kid. Hey, you're in trouble. You can't say that. It's like, where did this start from? We all know that. This started somewhere and this is bad. And I was thinking about this bad word thing, and there's always like anger or a lot of energy behind it.
Yeah.
It's rarely, you know, a happy thing or an I'm feeling good. It's, you might say, F yeah, if you're at a sporting event, but it's more like, you know, so it's a matter of like, how do you handle your anger and things like that? So for me, we didn't condone our kids saying bad words. Of course not. Did they hear it? Yes. I always try to have a conversation of why, and you said it, Nick, too, in the beginning, it's because it doesn't sound good. It's not good for trying to get a job. It's not good for your teacher to hear that. It's not becoming, and if you can't say it in front of certain groups, then why say it anyway, right? I think I have kind of interesting perspective here is that I'm a contractor. I've been in the construction realm, and I don't say bad words, but when I said it's totally infectious, right, to say bad words. It could be when you don't. One of my foreman actually was on my job sites told me, he goes, "But we all notice you don't say bad words." This is like a year ago. I didn't even think about it. I said, "You know it?" He goes, "Oh yeah, we know. You don't say," he goes, "I started telling the guys not to say bad words because your company and then you're the leader, so they don't say bad words anymore." I was like, wow. That was weird. When you brought up this, I thought, I got to tell that story because that was interesting. And I didn't try to do it. I'm not like this ultimate leader. It actually became infectious the other way. So we can make change. Amazing.
And I think the leading proponent of that was actions, not words. We're talking about words, but it's our actions that preface that. And sometimes what we do speaks so loud, we can hear what we say. And you don't hear me saying certain things, and that speaks for itself.
I feel like Gary Vaynerchuk, or there's a few people that they're almost their whole persona is, I'm going to say bad words and I'm just going to say them because that's who I am. That's a very weird character trait, just to be like, this represents me now. And goes the same even more so for your kids. If your kids are just dropping things left and right, and then it's what kind of perception of the outside world is being put on them that at such a young age or as a teenager, they just curse every other word. Like, you have no other arsenal of words or alternative vernacular that you could have used to make that sentence more interesting besides just dropping an F-bomb every other word. It gets almost annoying. If I'm going to be honest, it's not even like the word itself. It's just like you use the same three bad words in the last paragraph of talking. This conversation is getting drawn out just by bad words being inserted every other word. So what do you think that actually does to the kid, though? There's been, and give you some direction here, there's been studies showing that cursing, or a child hearing cursing, doesn't make them curse more, but then two, also doesn't hurt things like intelligence or how they treat individuals. So what's the actual harm in cursing, in your guys' opinion?
I'll give my two cents. What's the harm in it? I think the fact that once you normalize anything, it becomes a habit. And again, is that a good habit to have as you get older in anything, right? When is it necessary to be in a workplace to be descriptive with bad language, right? Whether you're talking to somebody or you're talking about something, this process is so bleeping dumb, so effing stupid. Like, why? Again, it doesn't help the situation. So no. I probably agree that it doesn't make someone less intelligent, or it doesn't necessarily hurt them. But on the flip side, it definitely doesn't help the situation either. And again, as Tim alluded to earlier, it's usually putting a person or situation, bringing something down versus building something up. There again would be my argument to say, what's the necessity then to bring something down that much further?
A quick interjection on that note there, where you were explaining how if you're frustrated with something and you use a curse word to express your frustration, you're not doing a good job of expressing what's making you frustrated when you boil down your essentially conversation with someone else down to just a single curse word, like F you, or this is BS when something's taking too long, instead of being like, hey, this process is taking a little bit too long, what's the holdup? Just being like, this is FNBS because I should have gone faster. So everyone's tuned you out now and they don't actually know what you're really frustrated about. Something about speed, but like, how can we help you? Yeah, just a quick interjection there. But Tim, what's your opinion on that when it comes to what are the actual negatives of it?
Thought that comes to mind for me on this is, I think there's a lot of peer pressure on using profanity, right, at that young age. And in a lot of ways, think about the sports fields, think about with your buddies, think about, you know, and if you don't, then you're weak and feeble and all this stuff. There tends to be a lot. What I did with my kids, just like we would say that don't follow the crowd and smoke weed and don't follow the crowd and do this and that, all these things that you tell kids. I used to talk about profanity too, instead of just yelling at them and getting upset when they did. But I remember we actually talked about it. And so I remember, especially my wife, when a lot of times when she would hear somebody say it and our kids were near, she'd make a point and she would say, now that guy's not too bright or something. That guy's in his good vocabulary. That he could have said that a lot of different ways. So I just kept hearing that there's another way. Not that my kids don't ever say bad words ever, but they're not profanity left and right. So who knows? Maybe it grew on them. I don't know.
And Tim, put it to you first. Do you think, not do you think, but when is maybe an appropriate time to say, it doesn't matter. I don't need to say anything to my kids anymore. Is it when they're 18, when they've hit high school, when they're out of the house? What's your opinion on that one as a parent?
So my opinion would be teenage years in high school, it's getting to that point. I'll tell you why, because, you know, so many things. One thing, by that time, it goes in one ear and out the other, just right over their head. You have this time period when they're younger, cram everything into their head, because later they're just not going to listen to you flat out. So a lot of ways it's a little too late. So at some point you're kind of like, okay, you know, now you still have boundaries and rules. We're not hearing that word in this house. I don't care how mad you are. We're not doing it. So we have our boundaries and our rules. And so you don't have to affect us. But I will tell you, yeah, so to show this and show an instance of this, and my kids, I think they succumbed to some peer pressure. There were buddies I overheard of cussing, but I didn't run over there in front of them and say, you're not saying those words anymore. They get to that age. But my second middle son, yeah, we have three kids, and it was high school. He was playing football. And we went to a Christian school. And we were at the end of a game, and there was literally like 39 seconds left. We were getting creamed, I don't know, 40-7. And my son plays hard, and he has heart, and he just did a huge tackle. And the ref walked up to him and stood over him and said, hey, son, look at the scoreboard. So in other words, saying, why are you playing so hard? Why are you doing this? You guys lost this game. Before the game was over, a ref said this. Guess what my son said? He looked up and said, F you. And so here he is in high school in a Christian school and says, F you. Everybody hears it, gets kicked out of the game, walks over, sits on the bench. I see his coach walk over, sit next to him. Then after a while I walk over, I said, what did your coach say? He walked right up to me, Dad, and said, he's proud of me. And I said, you know what, Sam? I'm proud of you too. So it was weird. A guy who doesn't like to say bad words, I'm telling him don't say bad words. And that's why I was mad too.
Sure.
I won't say that, but I'm going to, you know, we're going to have a meeting about this. Because if you play sports, I know you did, especially, it's like, when do you stop? I'm like, wait a minute, isn't this what the coaches teach? My son, this kid's awesome. Ref should have said, go after it, boy. It wasn't a late hit. It was like, you know what? You're supposed to give up. Never. Right. Yeah. So it was worthy. That was one of those moments. But he's 17, I think.
Oh, yeah. Love that story. I'll share my experience in terms of when are they old enough. And this, in my opinion, goes to when they're not old enough. It is 11, 12, 13. As Tim alluded to, it's that peer pressure, right? Want to fit in, especially young boys. So it's interesting. Obviously, I can't speak on behalf of girls and how much pressure they have to use the language. But for my situation as a coach, I know I would nip that one in the butt right away, whether it's early in the season, first time I hear it, whatever the case is, just say, look, I don't know what you're allowed to do at home or at school, but when we're in this circle, we don't use it. And we're not going to use it to tear each other down. And we're not going to use it to express our frustration. We just need to find an alternative way. But that was me and my circle. And I just brought it back to, this is what I can control. And this is what I can directly influence. And I'm not going to tolerate it, period. So I'd never had that issue of kids cussing at other kids personally, but I know that goes on, right? In many different other team environments, and they do that. So I don't know that one's right and one's wrong, but there again, it's what do we tolerate? Because I think if we allow it, we condone it. And I think some coaches say, well, I don't stand for that. I wouldn't allow that to happen. But then they let the F-bomb slip and they leave the kid that says, oh, you're an effing idiot for making a mistake. And they're just like, well, what's the big deal? You're just like, you're tolerating it. So you're, in my opinion, you're condoning it. So I think it's interesting because I think we all like to say, well, I don't condone my kid cussing, but I do it in front of them. Again, what do those actions speak versus just what your words say? I think that's an interesting one. Jay, you played. What were some of your experiences?
Yeah. It was, I'm pretty fiery too. Never curse words. Never curse words. I hit lower than that. So that was always mine were, they're not going to use any censor bleeps, but I would, yeah, there'd be plenty of trash talking, but it's all in good fun is what I'm saying in retrospect. My wife, Monica, though, she is the perfect example of, honey, you don't really need to say that. Something will just frustrate her. Oh, shit. And then you're like, Monica, she's like, that's my bad. And both boys, the 4-year-old and the 1.5-year-old, just staring at her while she says it. I'm like, they're just soaking all that in, aren't they? Thanks. This is a conversation that we have to address later now. I think everyone does it. They're not just calling Monica out. But yeah, that's the other thing that, especially having kids grow up in the digital era, screen time is a very common thing. The 4-year-old likes watching YouTube of people playing games. I can't blame him. I like doing that too every once in a while. It's like a sporting event. You're watching someone that does something better than you can do. makes sense. But on there, the gamers aren't known for their notoriously clean mouths. So Emerson will drop words that we're like, we have never used that word around in our house. And we know he's not doing it on purpose, but we know that now we need to regulate even more or tone things back again or that kind of stuff. Just say no and move past it. Okay, how are we going to actually parent though? And so that comes down to explaining to him and also changing the environment and the habits that we had as a family to better show those values that we have. And on that note, let's go right to tone of voice, the final one, tone of voice. Super fun because we all say, and you can be like, you are the most amazing person in the world. And no one's going to be like, this person is praising me. That was absolutely fantastic. I'm so glad that you said that. They're going to be like, that guy's a jerk for saying it like that. You can tell sarcasm. So we can't say that tone is just, as long as you don't use bad words, everything is fine. Definitely a time and a place for tone. I'll do that with a quick example and story of time and place. And then want to hear you guys' opinion on that. But the other day, Emerson he's potty trained. He goes potty in the toilet by sitting down. That's what a four-year-old does. They just can't make the toilet otherwise. And we were at a park with no porta potties, playing some tag, playing some games. And then Emerson just runs off. And this is a park at a school, runs off into some bushes, low cut bushes. These aren't concealing bushes, and just drops his pants to his ankles and just starts going pee. And it's like, buddy, I'm so proud of you for peeing standing up. Great job. However, this is not the time or the place for this. So on that, a four-year-old flashing himself to the one guy working on his muscle car and in his garage, when is the right time and place? And how do you teach tone of voice to your kids when you're trying to explain to them, yeah, bad words are bad, but also here's how to not just be a jerk in general by always being sarcastic or always making fun of the other person with your tone of voice or whatever that may come out to be.
Well, I'll start off, and I'm going to piggyback on another piece that becomes so important in communication is body language. And it's the 55-38-7 rule. And that 55% of what we communicate is our nonverbal and how we hold ourselves up. 38% of it is a tone of voice. So really that leaves 7% of the actual words that come out of our mouth is interpreted, which goes back to what your question is in terms of how do we stress the importance of tone of voice. It's maybe referencing that rule of thumb to say, look, how we say something plays such an important factor in terms of how that's received by somebody else. If I say, Jalen, what's wrong with you? Or I say, Jalen, what's wrong with you? You said the exact same thing, that how you choose to say that is gonna help or hurt that message being delivered. And I think just continuing to stress the importance of that when we do hear that, because what are kids naturally doing? They lash out and they get very frustrated very easily and quickly. And it's how do we hone that in and make them aware of those things? Because ultimately, then it comes back to us as parents too. It's one thing, again, to say it and stress the importance of it, but how do we communicate, whether it's to our significant other, whether it's to our kids, whether it's to our neighbors, whether it's to our social circles? And there again, it's a self-awareness piece when it comes to that tone of voice, because I think it goes back to, it's so easy to say one thing and say, you need to pay attention in how you talk to people, or you really need to pay attention to how you talk to people. Again, you're saying the same thing, but how that's received, I think, is so important. Tim, what are your thoughts?
And Tim, before you start, so like Nick was saying with that tone of voice and being like, you can't talk to people that way. It's like fighting fire with fire is a very dangerous strategy, and it doesn't work very well, especially if you're a firefighter. So Tim, is that how you went about, or how do you go about doing, is it purely just showing your kids how to properly engage with people and use your tone of voice properly? Or is there an actual sit down moment of, hey, here's how we need to communicate better?
Yeah, it's a little both, you know. It's about, yeah, I remember, and my wife was better at this than me, and Angela would sit them down and say, you need to use your words, right? You need to use your words, not your anger, sometimes the activity's not the right way too. It's like, just hear, talk it out, say what you're gonna say. But yeah, I'm thinking about the, when is it really a problem when it has to do with mostly anger, right? Anger and frustration and those. But part of it's interesting because I remember now too, I feel kids need that also. Kids need to see the real life and learn from real experiences. And we can't as parents just shelter them from everything. So there's two sides to that. I know some people say, hey, let's go, honey, let's go in the bedroom and talk about certain things so their son doesn't hear. So we used to say, it depends on what it is, but let's let them hear some of this stuff. I used to come home and say, had a bad day at work today. I think I had a friend that said, I never talk about my kids had a bad day. So no, guess what? They're going to have bad days. So there's like this communication thing is so super important. And how do you get it right? I don't know. And I don't think we did it perfect, but there's the times of, let's just calm down and tell me your words and tell me what's going on. And other times it's tell me why you're frustrated. And when they're, yeah, I'm frustrated because of this. And we're not telling them, calm down. You know, it's like, okay, go ahead. Get a little excited about it. We got to be sharp, right? We got to be sharp to know the right times to help them.
Yeah, very well put. I hope everyone got something out of this, especially if you're a parent like myself going through your four-year-old, just dropping a word that you're like, where'd you hear that? And that you have something that you're able to pull away from this and are able to apply it to parenting strategy and your life at home. If you have any questions or want to chat with us, feel free to reach out to us. All of our information is below. And what is the worst word your kid has ever dropped and in the most opportune time? We'd love to hear that. Please comment it below. We will share the best one in next hashtag Dad Life. Thanks for listening today. If we've earned it, be sure to give us a 5-star rating. And if you want to learn how to invest, where to get started, funding, how to leverage your current assets to get more, we have the perfect episode for you coming up this week on Wednesday in the Real Estate Roundup. So be sure that you hit subscribe or follow so that you know when that episode is released. Thank you so much for joining us today on this episode of Hashtag Dad Life, and we'll see you Wednesday with the Real Estate Roundup.
Want to see, hear, or listen to more of Nick's take on the California real estate market? Check out my links below.
Also, check out the links below for more information on products, books, or references made in this podcast. And please don't forget to subscribe, like, and share.